That was beautiful. I love bluegrass. I'm country and proud of it. Amen?
Amen.
That was beautiful. Don't you love these little children's moments? Addie, she just tells them. She just tells it like it is. I love it. Done. I could hear that. I hear y'all say that sometimes when y'all feel like I need to stop. Done. The bell's not ringing anymore. Done. That's good. I thought Brother James was going to preach my message this morning or share my message, because evidently God's speaking the same way. I want to go to the book of Luke. Today we're here to honor our mothers. Honor you, and there's no way in the world that I can even attempt to even find words to really describe what your ministry in life has meant to all of us. As I was praying, I said, Lord, we really need something fresh. Mother's Day, there's really what else can be said. And I began to go back and think about Mary and her life and the journey that she took for all of us. And I began to think about the plan of God. God is a very organized, detailed God, and everything has a purpose. And I thought about, he could have brought Jesus anyway. He could have spoken as it was when he created Adam. He just formed the dust of the earth, and there was Adam. There was a human being. And God could have done that same way with Jesus. But he wanted to show us, and I believe everything from Genesis to Revelation is critical, and there's something to be learned about everything he does. And I really believe that he used the office of a mother to prove to us a side of God that we should always remember. Mothers, I believe, are certainly gifts from God. They're ordained of God, and they're, I believe, angels. I believe every one of us that have had the privilege of knowing who our mother is and being a part of their life, and now they're a part of our life, realize that we've been visited by angels. And a mother's job has got to be one of the hardest jobs in the world that we men will never, ever even attempt. And so this morning I realize I'm way out of my field because I'm not a mother and can't even begin to attempt to say how you feel. Only thing I can do is go through inspiration of his word. And I go back to Luke chapter 1. Luke is chapter 1. We usually save that for Christmas time and all that. But I wanted to bring some of it out. And I just want to talk about a couple of things this morning about Mary. You think about her life was normal life. She was planning to get married to a young carpenter. And their life was set to be normal. And I want to begin by saying I believe that the calling of a mother is anything but normal, because it takes a very special person to be called a mother. And God's plan was to show us that. And chapter 1 of the book of Luke begins to declare the story as we know as a Christmas story. But I want to pick up on a couple of verses here. Let me just start verse 5. There was in the days of Herod the king of Judah a certain priest named Zacharias, of course, of Abia, and his wife was of the daughters of Aaron, and her name was Elizabeth. And they were both righteous before God, walking in all the commandments and the ordinances of the Lord, blameless. And they had no child. And so the story begins to go on, as you know, about Elizabeth. And then she was in the same situation as Mary. And then all of a sudden, a miraculous thing begins. I believe motherhood is a very, in the least to say, supernatural. I believe as we begin to honor mothers today, we really don't really understand all that's involved in the matrix of God when he created mothers. But as you read on in the Luke, you find the discourse comes to the point where in verse 27 it says, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David, a virgin's name was Mary. I want to talk about, first of all, the forming. Mary's sitting there, and all of a sudden an angelic being, an angel comes to her, and I want you to know that all births are miraculous. How God can take the lives of two people and put them together in one person, and out of that person grow another person, there's no words can describe that. A mother, to you mothers today, we honor you for the journey that you took to bring us to this earth. For God called you to such a high calling as that. And I know in our society today, it's really not looked at that, but I want you to know in God's eyes, it's one of the highest callings of life is to be a mother. You may become a president, you may become a law, you may become whatever that the world classifies as success. But I want to say to you, the greatest thing that you could ever become is a mother. God used the office of a mother to bring about the salvation of this world. What an awesome responsibility that is. And husbands and sons, when we look at our mothers and our wives, it ought to cause us to stand in awe. How God began to form us. I saw a sign one time that said God couldn't be everywhere at one time, so he created mothers. Now, we know that's not true. We know God's everywhere, but we also know, has your mother ever brought the fear of God in you? Mine used to beat me with a fly swatter, and when the fly part would leave, she'd just keep beating. And I had to remind her that the plastic part is gold now. You know, and she'd just keep right on wailing and wailing and trying to beat some sense in me. But, you know, I prayed many times. I tell you what, she taught me how to pray. Amen. God helped me stay alive. Amen. But it was magic. When I think about my mother, I get, this is a kind of a rough day for me, but she was my best friend in the world. When I think about what she meant to me, I think about presence is something that's here and there and it's gone. Today we've come and we've assembled together, and for a moment in time we're together, and then in a few minutes we're going to be gone. But influence is for a lifetime. Many of us are here today and we don't have our mother here this morning, but in essence we do, because the influence that she put in our lives is forever. Mary was sitting there minding her own business, and an angel comes unto her and speaks to her and says, you're going to have a child. Now I want to read a couple things to you. I'm not going to prolong with a lot of reading, but I just want to pick out a couple things. Verse 30, and the angel said unto Mary, fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. Now you think about this. God is telling you this through an angel. And behold, there shall conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and his name shall be called Jesus. What an awesome woman Mary must have been. He shall be great. He shall be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God shall give him unto him the throne of his father David. Now she's telling this young teenage girl all this. And he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom there shall be no end. Then said Mary unto the angel, how can this thing be that I know not a man? And the angel answered and said unto her, the Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow thee. When I think about a mother, they're one of the closest objects we can ever touch as far as God. We say, well, I've never touched God, I've never seen God, but you really have when you look at the office of a mother. And I think about at this moment, this young teenage girl is taking on a job that is totally impossible. It's impossible to do what God has asked her to do without his help. And today we just want to say thank you to all the mothers for the impossible task that you took on yourself. The burden that your life was one time normal like everybody else, and then all of a sudden a heaviness came upon you in the form of a baby, and out of that womb came a baby, a responsibility that has been with you through life. And I thank God for all of you this morning. As we read on and we find Mary, she's thinking about this. There's a couple of things else that God brought to my mind. So she's going through this thing in chapter 2, and it said, "It came to pass in those days that went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And they all went to the city to tax, and Joseph also went from Galilee out of the city of Nazareth into Judea and the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there in those days accomplished, that she would be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling clothes and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn." The thing that I love about a mother is that at this point in time, she began to move herself out of the way and began to put the forefront of her baby first. We can never love you mothers enough, because we understand that your life, from the moment that you begin to conceive and the moment that you begin to bear that child, you lost who you were and become who that child was. A real mother will give her own life for their child, won't they? A real mother will do without food so that that child will have something to eat. A real mother pushes themselves aside. So Mary begin to push yourself aside, and this baby is born. And I want you to read on. I want to read a lot to you, but for time's sake. And then it says in verse 9, "And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said, Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be unto all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior." Now, we've read that. We've heard that many, many times. But as James said so beautifully this morning, there was a human being behind that. There was an actual flesh human being, young girl named Mary. And Mary's seeing all this, and she's hearing all this. And the scripture that really come out of my mind this week in verse 19, all this stuff is being said about Mary. All this stuff is being said about Jesus. And look at verse 19. "But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart." And I thought about that scripture right there, and I just stopped for a minute. The weight began to come on her. And she began to realize, I have the awesome responsibility of forming this child. And so, read on in verse, go on down to verse 33. "And Joseph and his mother marveled at the things which were spoken." Simeon was an older man who had been waiting for the promise. And now the promise was here. And he just stands back. And now again, it's reaffirmed. Time and angels have said it. Men have said it. Everybody is saying it. You have birthed the Son of God. You have formed this Son of God. And look at verse 33. And it said, "And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken. And Simeon blessed them and said unto Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for a fall and rising again of many in Israel, for a sign which shall be spoken against." And look at verse 35. "Yea, a sword shall pierce through thine own soul also." How many times have our mothers hurt because of us? How many times have they felt pain because of us? And that is the miraculous power of God, is that through pain, He still loves us. Have you ever heard the saying that you only got a face a mother could love? Look at the one beside of you and see if that's true. Amen. You only got a face that a mother, some of y'all scared to look. So, you only got to face it. You know what? There's a lot to that, because God loves us even when we're not lovable. So Mary began this journey, and she begins to raise this child. Now keep in mind, and I'm coming to a close. He was human. She was human. Joseph was human. Yeah, but it was Jesus, but we know that he was God, but he was man too, right? So he was a little baby, a human being. And she had the awesome responsibility. The second thing I want to talk about is framing. God formed this plan. God birthed this plan. But Mary had to frame this plan. She had to sacrifice herself and raise that child. So as time went on, I want you to know today, nobody knows how many times you've wiped a dirty nose or cleaned a dirty diaper or given milk or got up in the middle of the night when you were so tired yourself. Mothers, I want to tell you thank you for all the sacrifice that you did that we'll never know all that you did. But God wanted you to know today how special you really are. And she began to raise this baby. And I don't want to take time to read all the scriptures that I had written down, but this child comes and he grows, and now they're at the River of Jordan, and they're baptizing, and all of a sudden heavens open up, and they begin to speak out and say, "This is my son, Jesus Christ, Son of the living God, whom I'm well pleased." And this is the part I think is the hardest. Mary has to step back and let God go. And I think one of the hardest things for a mother to do is let go. Because you can't ever really let go, can you? But you remember when that son or that daughter walked down the aisle or they found that one you told them to stay away from, but do you remember all that? You remember that time that all of a sudden they're no longer in your care and you have to step back. My heart began to break this week because I thought that's the hardest thing in life. I know my two boys, I never had any girls till they got married and started bringing babies into the world. Now I got a bunch of little girls in my family, but I thought how hard it was to not be a daddy anymore, not be a mommy anymore, because they're grown. How many of you know you don't need to be wiping the nose of a 35-year-old? How many of you know that? Amen. You tell them how to do it, but you don't want to do it. But I thought about Mary has to step away. She kind of fades into the crowd that day, and all of a sudden, all attention is no more on Mary or Joseph, but now it's on Jesus. And his life goes on. And she knows him like nobody else knows him, because while he was a little baby up at 12 years old, she raised him. She fed him. She heard him cry. She heard him when he went through all of his troubles. You say, well, he was Jesus, but the Bible says he went through everything we go through, right? And she was there for him. I thank God for my mother and for you mothers that have always been there when nobody else would. As they read this morning, a real mother believes in you when nobody else does. A real mother, and all this time, you're not the Son of God, you're not the Son of God, and she knew in her heart, he was the Son of God. And then the final picture comes to a close. It's when he's on a cross. And where's Mary at? As you said this morning, she's still there. Her heart is broke. That's her son on the cross. And her heart is broke. For all of you mothers this morning, that your hearts have been broken, I pray that God supernaturally will hold that in his hand and do that healing that needs to be done. This morning I've given a brief attempt to even somewhat describe how Mary really felt, but nobody really knows. When she stood up there and saw her son, not Jesus, but her son, hanging on that cross. And she was willing to back away for the salvation of us. He that knew no sin became sin. And this morning I want you to know the greatest time in our lives It's when that mama hugs you, or when that mama says, I love you. Or remember the phone calls that you used to call when you were about ready to give up, and they'd say, hang on, hang on. Thank God for mothers. I'm going to ask everyone to stand this morning. And I'm going to ask every mother in this place, or every mother figure or whatever, to come and stand in this altar with me this morning. We want to have a closing prayer today together. I'm going to ask you to come, everyone that will, every mother. Amen. And I want every man and husband, son, whatever, to come stand behind or stand with your mother or your daughter or whoever it is up here. I want you to stand with them this morning. Amen. Father, we thank you this morning for this beautiful congregation of people. God, we honor our mothers this morning. We honor these up here today that have sacrificed so tremendously for us. Lord, we know that there's stories upon stories that can be told of what a mother has done, or the influence of a mother, or what a mother's difference has made in our lives. And we're so thankful today that we have a church that has some great mothers. God, we ask you to supernaturally bless them today. And we as men today recognize that they had received a job that we could never do. God, I thank you for the strength they brought into our homes. I thank you for the power they bring into our homes. And I thank you for the balance they bring into our homes. And God, we ask you today that these women in this place today would know that they've been honored. That as Mary stood there and stepped away, as she was willing to let go, I pray, God, that everything that these women have been through and everything they have let go, I pray you bring a peace to their heart and a strength like never before. Thank you, God, for their lives. Thank you for their families. And today we honor you through our mothers. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. God bless all of you.